From the campus of Maharshi University of Management, this is World Radio, KHOE 90.5 FM, and you are listening to the program, A Chat with the Dean, with Dean of Faculty at MUM, Dr. Kathy Guarini. Welcome, Dr. Guarini.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And her guest today is no stranger to KHOE or the community, Dr. Robert Schneider, who is a faculty member here at MUM. And welcome, Dr. Schneider.
Thank you, Stan.
Now, a little bit about Dr. Schneider. I want to start with this because it's not only impressive, but it's important about what's going on in the world. But Dr. Schneider is a physician, scientist, educator, and one of the world's leading authorities on scientific natural approaches for heart disease, high blood pressure, stress, and other cardiovascular risk factors. Dr. Green, we have a special guest today on campus, and I think you want to chat a little bit about that.
So I understand, Robert, that Dr. Rob Brook is coming, and he's going to be speaking on Monday evening. Could you tell us a little bit about how you happened to meet him?
Yes, it's a really great pleasure and honor for all of us to host Dr. Rob Brook for the distinguished lecture Monday, May 5th at 8 o'clock in Dalby Hall. Dr. Brook is chairman of the American Heart Association Scientific Committee that reviewed alternative approaches to the treatment of high blood pressure. This is a very famous report in medical circles around the U.S., around the world, and in our community particularly, because in Dr. Brook's committee, they reviewed transcendental meditations, other relaxation techniques, and other alternative approaches to treatment of high blood pressure. This is the first time that any modern medical association in the U.S. or around the world that I'm aware of has conducted a thorough, objective, systematic, and scientific review of alternative approaches, including transcendental meditation. And probably, as many of our listeners know, the report came out or concluded that transcendental meditation is effective in lowering high blood pressure and may be considered by doctors in their clinical practices. So this was a breakthrough. Actually, I did not know that this committee was reviewing the research. Our group has been involved in doing a lot of this over the years and publishing it with our collaborators around the country. But this was sort of a secret, or sort of, at least to me and others, review of the research, and then they came out with this finding. And then after the finding was published, I began a dialogue with the chair, Dr. Brook, and sharing and exploring more of our mutual interests. And actually, we wrote a letter to the editor of the journal correcting some fine points in the report, but the overall findings we really appreciate. And then Dr. Brook invited me to come to his institution, University of Michigan, where he's an associate professor and director of the Hypertension Center there. And funnily enough, or synchronistically, that's where I trained in hypertension about 30 years ago, where he is now. So it was sort of a reunion of that Michigan hypertension group, and there I went into more detail than the report did on the research on transcendental meditation and cardiovascular disease and hypertension, and they all really liked that, and it was only natural because of the interest there and to invite Dr. Brook to come to MUM and share his views on meditation and the heart. And then his second area of interest, besides consciousness and health, is air pollution, because he feels that a doctor should have social consciousness, should be aware of the environmental influences on health, very consistent with our view here at MUM on sustainable living and how that interacts with physiology and health. So his second pioneering area is the effects of the environment on the heart. And he was probably the first to spearhead this whole scientific investigation of air pollution, showing that it raises blood pressure and heart disease. So that also fits in with MUM's interest. So he has these two interests about how the inner person, the inner consciousness, affects the heart, and how the outer environment and how they're connected. And actually, in his talk, he's going to connect those two levels, the inner and outer levels, for heart health.
I'm very curious about how you could connect air pollution to hypertension, how you could do a research study. I mean, how do you know somebody's exposed to air pollution?
Right. Well, that's part of what he's going to talk about, but my understanding at the moment, for one thing, there are two ways to do it. One way is to look at blood pressure in different cities that have different levels of pollution. He has a big center in Beijing, which is one of the world centers of air pollution right now, among other areas. And he's done surveys in other parts of the world. And if you can match people on age and other demographic characteristics, and the biggest variable is a difference in air pollution, that's, and then you can look at their blood pressures, you can show an association. The second way, which actually here at MUM we've thought about some of these same ideas too, how do you show that collective consciousness and the Marsh effect is related to health and other factors. The second way he's done it is by a time course or time series analysis. He's you can document changes in pollution over months or days, and then you can actually track people's blood pressure. You can take their blood pressures over the same period. So if you see air pollution going up and down over the weeks and months, and you could do a time series analysis to correlate that with changes in blood pressure, is a second way of showing a causal relationship. Of course, anyway, that's, and he, yeah, well, that's the first way, or the association. And secondly, he believes that these effects are mediated in part by the nervous system, that pollution stimulates stress hormones, the sympathetic nervous system, the stress part of the nervous system. It is a physical stress. And that's why he believes that transcendental meditation may be useful to lower pollution-related blood pressure, because at least from the modern physiological point of view, transcendental meditation quiets the nervous system, quiets the stress responses, so it may reduce this kind of high blood pressure. He's going to propose that we look at that together.
That is really, really fascinating. So you would have a study with people who were exposed to pollution, and then some of them would learn meditation? Is that how it would work?
Yeah, that's the idea. It would be pretty hard to do here in Fairfield, Iowa.
So far.
That's another radio show, I'm sure, to keep that healthy air here. But yeah, he has a big center in Beijing. So one idea, that's with his collaborator, Dr. Sanjay Rajagopalan, who's the head of cardiology, University of Maryland, where I also spoke 2 weeks ago. So they both have this collaborative center in Beijing. So the idea is to teach people in that city and maybe other cities. India, Delhi, is also a major source of air pollution, so they're very interested in doing a project there. Los Angeles has high levels of pollution, so there may be multiple centers where we would teach people TM and look at their blood pressure and then look at the changes in air pollution and see if we can blunt these blood pressure rises associated with pollution.
So, you know, I don't really know much about hypertension, but I didn't realize it was something that could be influenced measurably sort of on a day-to-day or week-to-week or month-to-month basis, but you think that the pollution levels on a week-by-week or month-by-month time period would have an influence and that we could see a change with meditation?
Yes, well, that's their idea, and I concur with it, but yes, blood pressure changes minute by minute. If someone gets excited, their heart rate and blood pressure go up. If they meditate or get calm in other ways, they can go down. It's a dynamic variable, and it changes with seasons, changes with environmental stimuli and stressors, changes with time of day. It goes down at night when we go to sleep, and in the morning, blood pressure begins to rise, and that's part of our impulse to get up in the morning and get going, the circadian rhythm or chronorhythms. So it changes in many ways and in response to many stimuli. And most people did not believe that air pollution had any effect. So that intuitive response that you have was the most common response, particularly with particulate pollution. I'm just beginning to learn about this area, but these small particles, which you really can't see, I guess, until they become very dense. I guess there were some observations maybe 10 or 20 years ago that people who lived in these high-pollution cities had higher rates of heart attacks and strokes and high blood pressure-related diseases, and then people began to wonder why that is. And, of course, heart disease was unknown, relatively unknown, in traditional societies and rural areas, and is well known to be increased in urban areas, particularly in developing countries. There was a dramatic shift with urbanization, shift towards, you go to Delhi now and you see heart hospitals as, almost every block. So there's an epidemiologic shift or demographic shift, and then physicians began to wonder why that is and what's about urbanization. There are many reasons for that. But, some people began to hypothesize maybe that's something to do, at least in part, with the air quality. So they did a few experiments and did animal experiments, and it was only about 15 years ago that this was really discovered and developed over the past decade. And Dr. Brook was one of those pioneers who really was counterintuitive or counter the trends. But that's what makes scientific discoveries, is to find something that's not obvious. And now the physiology of the whole thing is well developed. There's the biochemistry, and even the genomic level is described. So now it's really understood how it all works, but much more anyway.
Well, that's fascinating. So what are your future plans with this area? Because I know you've done, you've done all different kinds of research on hypertension and heart health. What are your plans at this point, knowing this pollution connection?
Yeah. Well, there are several plans. Dr. Brook is specifically interested in that connection, and he's interested in meditation, so he wants to connect his two interests. And here at the Institute for Natural Medicine and Prevention at MUM, we want to support that. So we've agreed to collaborate with him and put together this international study over the next few months and submit it to the government as a grant proposal. So that's one specific area. I think more generally, we want to really host Dr. Brook and support his investigation of what's going on here at MUM. What's going on with consciousness-based healthcare. He's actually new to the Transcendental Meditation Program. He's reviewed, and his committee have reviewed the published research, and based on the published research alone, they made the recommendation that TM's effective in this area without personal involvement in the program. But now, based on the data, he wants to come here and see what a consciousness-based community is all about, and we want to support that. He's meeting with Dr. Hagelin for an extensive, for an afternoon during his visit, because he's very interested in quantum mechanics and quantum physics and consciousness and health. And a fellow like him, or Dr. Brook himself, is quite influential in American medicine. He's been the strongest proponent in conventional medicine through this American Heart Association. and members of the committee are also more interested now based on the data. So we want to really support their interests and that discovery process, because medical science, like any science, is all about discovery. And so he's you know, using the scientific method to come here and discover more deeply what this whole approach of consciousness-based healthcare is all about. And certainly those of us who are here are all about doing that too, and having MUM as a center of knowledge for medicine and healthcare, and of course all the other disciplines also. So it's really a coming together, if you will, of these two worlds, and an integration, and that's the theme of our new master's program, is integrated healthcare with consciousness-based approaches. So the vision more globally, it is to educate and share and expand this knowledge, as well as some of these more specific programs.
Well, I think this recognition of this committee is really an amazing tribute to all the hard work you've been putting in all these years in these research studies. Now, he's going to talk on Monday night. Who should go to that talk? Who would be interested in what he's going to say?
Yeah, the talk is targeted for the university community and the general community both. So all our pre-med students are specifically invited, and all the faculty are specifically invited. The student body more generally is invited. And so we want to invite the community in Fairfield to come, because everyone is concerned with health, everyone's concerned with the quality of their environment, and he's going to speak in a way that is understandable for the lay person, as well as our students and faculty. So I encourage everyone to come. And I also want to say that this is part of the mind, body, heart tour, as we're calling it. I've been going out. Maybe we can do another show on this, but I've been going out around the country this year, speaking at many of the top medical schools and medical centers in the U.S. And last year, I did that in four continents around the world, talking about this knowledge. And this is part of the reverse mind, body, heart tour. Is some of these top doctors coming to MUM. We'll have more of those too. That's all part of this mission of MUM, is to bring the knowledge of ideal health out and in and to the whole world. So everyone's invited to be part of that and share it and learn too.
We certainly do anticipate that I'll talk with you, Dr. Schneider, on the tour. And this topic coming up, transcendental meditation, air pollution in your heart, with Brooke, sounds like it's going to be not just for students of science. Everyone should enjoy this talk, I think.
I think so, too. Of course, the theme of sustainable living will be there. And I know we have many members of our community who are concerned about the environment and health on that level from the outside in. So that group would be particularly interested, and also the general community.
So that's Monday, May 5th, Monday coming up, 8 p.m. in Dalby Hall.
Thank you very much for speaking with us today.
Thank you, Kathy, and thank you for leading the faculty for many years and inspiring all of us and supporting all of us to go deeply into Maharshi's knowledge of health. And, of course, you're not just working in health. You're inspiring every single department and field of knowledge. Dean of Faculty, and I think this is just part of that mission of the faculty to go deep and to bring it out to everyone.
She's our DJ Dean. She does a very good job. We really appreciate that. Well, thank you, Dr. Schneider, and we come to this meeting in Dalby Hall and with Dr. Robert Brooke, and thank you so much for telling us about him and what he's doing and what you're doing together. I'm sure there's going to be more come of this, and we look forward to another talk with you on your tour.
Okay, see you all Monday night.
Yes. Jay Gurdav.
Jay Gurdav.